In 1919, he hit 29 home runs and was sold to the New York Yankees.
A three-run home run for Buffington. The Yankees now lead it by a score of 3-2.
Bill Lee is now going over to a couple of the Yankees, and there they go again.
Swung, hits it to deep left. That might send the Yankees to the World Series.
Varitek and A-Rod going at it. Roberts is going. Posada's throw. Roberts, safe.
What can I say? Just dip my heart and call the Yankees my daddy.
Welcome to Fanbase, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports, I guess, based on this weekend, I'm not so sure. Episode 158, John Senecal, Brian Shackman, bringing it to you here. We got a bunch of stuff to talk about. We'll talk about the Yankees-Red Sox series. We'll talk a little bit about Rafi Devers. We'll talk a little bit about the schedule going into the break, and then John will give us some feedback on the All-Star picks because, you know, half the players I don't even know. John, I don't know what to say. I mean, the Sox took 2 of 3, and if it wasn't for one inning, they would have swept them. It was just one bad inning the Sox had all weekend, really. Are the alarm bells, you know, how loud are they for you?
Oh, my God, dude. I mean, they've been loud all month of June, you know, and now we're into July and the same stuff's happening. This is the 2022 Yankees all over again, you know, coming out the gates hot and then just floundering, hitting June and just floundering. I mean, I'm not going to blame the pitching, dude. I am not blaming the pitching. It's the offense.
Even the relief?
I'm not going to blame the starters, let's say that. I won't blame the starters. I mean, in the weekend series, Cole was the worst starter out of everyone. You know, and he wound up winning that game because that was the game where Ben Rice went off and hit 3 home runs. But, you know, the final game of the series, he'll look good. The first game of the series, Cortez looked good. And, you know, and then the bullpen blows it. But you cannot win ball games if you're going to rely on a rookie to hit 3 home runs in a game. You know, Aaron Judge is cooling off. Juan Soto has been cooling off. These guys are not playing at the same level they've been playing. Now, granted, Aaron Judge is not the issue on this team at all. His name shouldn't even be spoken, but he's the one that's carrying this team. And if you're not getting any production out of your basically 4 through 9 hitters, you are not going to win ball games. I'm sorry. You're just not going to win ball games. And if your pitchers are only going to give up 3 runs in a game through the whole slate, you got to score some runs for these guys. You have to.
Yeah. And what's crazy is that if you look at the numbers, right, they outscore the Red Sox 17-12 and lose 2 of 3. I mean, it's just, because they scored 17 runs in 3 games. They just happened to score 14 in one game and none in another and 3 in the opener. I find it fascinating because, I have to familiarize myself with some of these Red Sox players because it's time to really just recognize that, you know, I don't know if it's core. There's all this stuff circulating, right? So, like, let me just be patient with me for a second because, you know, everyone just assumed this is core's last year. Right.
Yep.
And then he's going to go. And the issue is interesting because I always harp on Cora because the team sucks at fielding. Right. And I'm like, well, that's coaching, in my opinion. That's not just talent. That's about drilling and practice and all this other stuff. But for I don't know if the talent was unknown and they're overachieving. I have no idea. But at some point you have to give him a crap ton of credit.
I already did. I gave him credit like 4 episodes ago and you laughed in my face.
No, I'm not even saying you. I'm not saying you.
No, I know in general. In general.
Yeah.
But I think this team has been so downtrodden by the ownership and then they're just beat down. The fan base is beat down and they shouldn't be. You know, they shouldn't be. This is a young team. They're not overachieving. They're hungry. These guys are hungry and they're playing the way they should be playing. And if anything, that this team needs, they need the ownership to step up in 2 weeks and make this team even better than it is.
Well, what's fascinating to me, let's talk about Devers for a quick second here, because I want to go into the schedule, which is a little bit a part of what, you know, we were talking about. But I mean, listen, all you have to do, we talked about it on our show on WTIC News Talk 1080, Rafi Devers. It's really unbelievable. You know, some people think I don't think he's got the personality or the leadership qualities of like a Xander or whomever. But when it comes to him being clutch, I mean, his performance against the Yankees is pretty stunning. He's got 16 home runs at Yankee Stadium, 28 against the Yankees. He's batting over .450 with 7 home runs in his last 10 games in New York. I mean, you guys must hate this guy.
Yeah, I mean, everybody knows he's a great player. I mean, Rafael Devers is a hitter. If anything, it was his knock was his defense. And he is a Yankee killer. He's a Gerrit Cole killer, and the numbers you just gave is a Yankee killer. But he's just doing what he's been doing every single year. He's on par for the same exact season he has every year. 100 RBIs, 30 home runs, you know, 290 average, 285 average. He's doing what he's supposed to do. He's getting paid $30 million a year to do it. But, you know, he's not, like you said, he's not going to be that guy out in front of the camera. You know, the Red Sox need a guy like that to hold this team together. Maybe it's going to be Jaren Duran. Maybe it'll be him. You know, I feel like he has the personality to do it, but he's also, you know, he's a rookie. So time will tell. But Rafael Devers is a special player. And I commend the Red Sox for actually sacking up and locking him up. I really do.
Sacking up. Locking him up.
Well, I mean, history shows they wouldn't do that, right? I mean, that's a lot of money to commit to a player. And, you know, he's, what, 27 years old, and he's signed through, like, 2033, so he's not going to be a spring chicken. And I guarantee he probably won't be too tradable towards the end of that contract, like most of these guys. But they are hitting him when the iron's hot, and that's smart, just like Jose Ramirez, which was a bigger discount for the Cleveland Indians. But still, same kind of player, in my opinion, except one's a switch hitter.
So, going into the All-Star break, the Sox have 3 against Oakland and 3 against Kansas City. Now, Oakland, they're not total pushovers. I mean, they lost 2 of 3 to the Orioles, but they swept the Angels. I mean, they'll go back and forth. I mean, they had a tough stretch, you know, earlier in the month. I mean, but they can beat people, but they're still not a good team, right?
They like being the disruptor, though. They're playing for pride, right? I mean, I guess.
I think they get cranked up to play against good teams.
Yes.
Right? I think that's the way. I mean, they're a bad team that seems to play good teams pretty tough. But the thing is that the Sox, who don't play well at home, they're below 500 home, they have their final 6 games at home before the All-Star break. And then the Kansas City thing is interesting because that's their direct competition, you know, entering this week in the wild card, right? Because they right now have a couple games in hand against Kansas City and a slight lead in the wild card. If they could, like, even sweep the Royals and go into the break, you know, up 3, 4, 5 games in the wild card, that would be unbelievable. And probably the biggest, and I hate to say this, I'm Boston-centric, but if they go into the break 3 games or so clear in the wild card, that's probably the biggest surprise in baseball.
Yeah, and given those 6 games, you said, right? 3 against each going into the break?
Yeah, correct.
You hope they take, you know, 4 out of 6 total. You know, they definitely could sweep Oakland. And, you know, given their schedule going in their break as opposed to the Yankees schedule, which I feel is a lot harder. You know, they got Tampa and Baltimore going in, but the two teams are going in totally opposite directions. You know, the Yankees are 5-15 over their last 20 games. Right. I mean, they've basically been in a free fall since they played Boston in Boston. Right. About like a month ago. You know, Boston's, you know, they're doing their thing. They're 6-4 over their last 10. So, you know, I think,
what's their record since Stanton left? I mean, we talked about this, like,
it's just same thing. They're just garbage, dude. Stanton left right about the same time. He was gone basically right around the same, in the middle of the month. You know, it's like we've said it over and over again. He solidifies that lineup regardless of how bad he looks sometimes when he strikes out or his 245 average. He's a solidifier in that lineup. And so was Rizzo before he got hurt, regardless of his head injury and all that. And if he's off a little, he's still a force in that lineup. You're going to look in that lineup, you're going to say Anthony Rizzo, and you're going to be like, okay, this guy could go yard against me anytime. Pitch him carefully. As opposed to some other guy, like DJ LeMahieu right now. That guy can't even get an extra base hit, right?
Yeah.
I mean, Ben Rice is a rookie. Yeah, Ben Rice is great. He's a rookie, but we've seen a million rookies come through New York that you never see him the next year. I hope that's not the case. But, you know, we need a Ben Rice to be Shane Spencer. That's what we need, right?
Right. I mean, it's going to be, the trade deadline is going to be fascinating because the Yankees have to. I mean, they've shown historically they will make moves. So you know they'll make moves. The question is, what do they do and what do they give up to get them?
Well, the thing is, what I see about this trading deadline is I don't necessarily think the Yankees have time to wait another 2 weeks. All right, because if they keep playing bad, the asking price is going to go up. The asking price on everything is going to be insanely high across the board, right? Everybody that has players to sell knows these teams need it, right? The Orioles are in position to win. The Yankees are in a position to win. Boston's even in a position to win. These guys, we know it. If you make the wild card, you are in a position to win and make it to the World Series, plain and simple. So any team that's within two games of the wild card is going to be in it. But let's talk about the big teams, right? The Yankees, the Orioles in the East. There's no way the Yankees are going to be able to compete with the Orioles on the trade market. It's just not going to happen, especially if they're not going to part with Spencer Jones or Jason Dominguez. And Dominguez's stock isn't going to be high right now. He's hurt, right? Yeah. He's young, but he's hurt. And if they're not going to part with Spencer Jones, they lost a lot of prospects in pitching in the Soto trade. They're top-tier guys. So I'm worried. I'm very worried because if it comes to a bidding war, the Orioles are going to crap all over the Yankees. They got seven guys sitting in AAA with like 25 home runs.
Yep.
You know, and it's and they can outbid everybody. So the Yankees, I don't think they have time to wait. They have holes they need to fix. They have a bullpen they need to fix. They could use another starter. They could use a third baseman. They could use a second baseman. They need some more offense. So if they're going to wait any longer, the price is going to keep going up and up and up. And I just don't see the Yankees, with the lineup that they're toting out there right now, I just don't see them being 10 more wins before the break. I just don't see something like that happening. Not the break, the deadline. I just don't see that happening. So the team's not going to be getting better. So the asking price goes down. I guess. Do you know what I'm saying? Like,
yes, but I mean, I think that teams hold the Yankees hostage anyway because they know they'll overpay. You know what I mean? So,
but they really haven't in the past, though, right? Like in the last 3 or 4 years, they haven't overpaid a lot. Like off-season trade, they got Soto, right? With these trade deadline stuff, the last few years have been kind of garbage. You know, they get the what's his name, the guy from Cincinnati, Montas or Efros or Trevino. You know, these mid-tier guys. You know, nothing crazy. You know, you're not seeing the Yankees of old where they're getting this big bat at the break, you know, the David Justice or someone like that, you know. So right. it's going to be, you're right, Brian, it's going to be very interesting. But if I'm a Yankee fan and Yankee universe out there, you got to be worried, because if you're going to get a good pitcher or a good hitter, you're going to lose one of your big prospects. And the Yankees need to be prepared to do that.
He's John Senecal. I'm Brian Shackman. This is Fan Base, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports, episode 158. I was pretty shocked. There's 32 first-time All-Stars. Now, I know Bobby Witt Jr. I know Paul Skeens, okay? But after that, I mean, I know Ellie De La Cruz, too. But, I mean, there is a bunch of guys I don't know anything about.
Yeah, 32 first-timers and 19 guys, 27 or younger. That's impressive. So more than half the team is younger than 27, which is awesome for Major League Baseball. And that's the, you know, hey, Yankees, take notice. Get younger. Get younger. Look at the Orioles. I imagine their average age is probably 26, 27, maybe 28. You know, get younger. Yankees is probably like 32. I mean, you can't, Major League Baseball is a young sport right now. But let's get back to the All-Stars. Yeah, 32 first-timers, right? You got guys like Profar. Jurickson Profar is having one of the best year of his career in San Diego. He's never been an All-Star, and that guy's been bounced around. And if you follow baseball, you've heard his name since the Little League World Series back in, like, I don't even know, it was like 2011 or something like that. He was playing for Curaçao, I believe, in the Little League World Series.
Yep, that's right. He's from Curaçao.
Let's see,
Curaçao,
we got
cranks out baseball players.
Great players, yeah. So Bryce Harper was the leading vote getter in the NL. There's still a question. He may be ready to go for the break, but I'd imagine that the team's not going to want him in it. Alec Boehm for the Phillies, he's going to be a first-timer. Trey Turner, even though he was hurt most of the season, he pilled out the shortstop spot. Tatis got a starting nod. He won't even be back till September. Did you know Tatis was that injured? Fernando Tatis?
I did not.
No, he's not suspected back to like almost September, which is crazy. Christian Yelich is a starter, and he, not a starter, reserve, but man, what a career he's put together quietly in Milwaukee, huh? Like basically written off after the 2019 MVP, and he's making an all-star team. Let's see who else we got here. And the American League, a bunch of pitchers you've never heard of, Brian. Tyler Anderson, Garrett Crochet, Logan Gilbert, you know Hauk.
Logan Gilbert.
Seth Lugo.
Never heard of him.
Great. I mean, Logan Gilbert's probably the best pitcher of the alternates. Maybe one of the best pitchers on the AL staff in general. Let's see. Mason Miller, the hard thrower from Oakland's first one. Cole Reagan's first time. Tarek Skubal. Now, he's a young pitcher for Detroit. 13 Ks in the game, his final game the other day. he probably could be the starter in the American League, actually. He's having a hell of a year. Kirby Yates from Texas. And I just heard Texas is going to be sellers at the break. How about that, huh? Your World Series champion, Texas Rangers.
That's crazy.
And then nationally, you got Glasnow, Ryan Helsley, who has like 32 saves for St. Louis, who everybody wrote off and is in the wild card. Jeff Hoffman, Philadelphia, never heard. Imanaga from Chicago Cubs, probably your rookie of the year candidate against Paul Skeens. Ronaldo Lopez from Atlanta's got a 1.71 ERA pitching. Insane. And everybody's favorite left-hander, Chris Sale, baby, from the Atlanta Braves.
Oh, my goodness. He's an all-star.
Who leads the National League in wins with 11, and he's got a 2.71 ERA. And he probably should be the starter for the All-Star team.
That just sucks. It's so hard to hear.
It's unbelievable. And then you got the other guys, you know, and the big talk, right? Paul Skeens, okay? So let's talk about Paul Skeens. What do you know about Paul Skeens other than the Air Force Academy and number one pick and, you know, this year?
The mustache.
The mustache, right? And he's got the, you know, the gymnast girlfriend. But a lot of argument being made for Paul Skeens to start, and that's not going to happen. You're not going to start a guy who's got 59 innings pitched over guys that have 100 innings pitched, regardless of how great he is. 5-0, 2.14 ERA, lots of strikeouts, lots of excitement. Everybody wants to see him go up against Aaron Judge, of course, and Juan Soto. I don't think it's going to happen, folks. He might get into the game a little bit later and maybe see them, but I don't get too crazy. Unless the Torey Lovullo has some something up his sleeve and surprise everyone with him starting, I don't see it happening. I would see Ronaldo Lopez or Chris Sale starting, I'm guessing. Just based, and it's also pitches, it comes down to how they're lined up, right? If they're going to be able to start. So
Adley Rutschman, I think he went to Oregon State. It was Oregon State, not Oregon.
Yep.
They had the recycled clip. I just saw it the other day. He was so good in college that they Barry Bonds him. They intentionally walked him with the bases loaded. I mean, that's how good that guy was even then.
And he wasn't an all-star starter last year either. Jonah Heim from Texas was. Adley Rutschman is a special player. He's a very special player. I thought you were going to talk about the clip where he tackled Christian McCaffrey on a run back because he was the kickoff guy for Oregon State for the football
really?
Team. Yeah, there's video of him actually that's been around tackling McCaffrey on a run back. But special player, switch hitter, everybody knows he's great. And that's another reason why Baltimore is great. They got that guy, right? They got that guy. And it's hard to find that guy. You know, I mean, the Yankees got that guy with Judge, right? But not every team has that guy. You know, it's not an easy thing to find. And the Orioles have it. The Orioles have it.
With the last question here before we roll, with that many new names and some names you've never heard of, does that make you more interested, more excited in the game?
Yeah, I think it's great for baseball. I really do, because you know when there's a guy like me who watches baseball all the time that can look and see two names and he's like, wait, who the hell is Jeff Hoffman and who's this guy? Baseball is getting better. There's guys that are younger and nobody's heard of them. They're making all-star teams, which is great because that's going to show more players that they can do it. It's not going to be the same people over and over again. I mean, we can go on and on about the all-star team. I don't think it should be set up the way it is because some guys just get on there as a popularity contest and they don't belong there. But that's a whole other conversation. But yes, I'm excited that there's 32 first-time all-stars. I'm also excited about the home run derby. I love watching Pete Alonso. And my son last night said,
It just kind of stinks that they don't get more good players.
Though. No, it's kind of turned like the dunk contest. You know what I mean? It's like the first or 2 years of it, it was like, yeah, put the marquee guys in and then that's it. Now you just have like, you know, the mid-tier guys, I'll say. I don't know. I mean, Alec Boehm's going to do it. Gunnar Henderson's going to do it, which I hope he goes into a second-half slump. Oh, man, do I ever hope that the all-star curse hits someone like I want to hit someone is Gunnar Henderson. But yeah, you want to see like the Stantons, the Judges, the big home run hitters, the Shoheis. You want to see those guys in it, but you're just not because you're going to get hurt.
The liability,
the second half slump, and it's real, right? Almost everybody who wins the All-Star game, All-Star Home Run Derby, has some sort of second half slump. So, Time will tell. Time will tell. Oh, I was going to say, my son and I were saying they should put Polar Pete in the All-Star game forever until he wants to stop. I mean, he retires. He's 42 years old, and he wants to be in the All-Star game in the Home Run Derby. Put him in it.
Sort of like the Masters. Yeah. He's fun. I agree. He's what's good about it, and I love it. He made that event like single-handedly compelling.
Yeah, I mean, I think the best thing I ever saw was Josh Hamilton in 2008 at Yankee Stadium. That home run display that he put on before all the rules and stuff were changed, how you do it, when they were just pitching him balls and he cracked like 29 home runs or something in one rip. That was amazing. That was amazing. But, you know, watching Polar Pete hit home runs is just fun. You know, he reminds me like a beer league softball dude, you know, he's just crushing balls. And I could see him out there 50 years old hitting a home run in the home run derby.
And he's really like that. When I lived in the Boston area, his girlfriend was from the town I lived in, and he went and got a haircut in the same chair at the same barbershop that I went to, and the barber said that he was probably the nicest guy you'd ever meet. You wouldn't have thought for a second that he was a pro ball player.
You probably didn't even know who it was. Yeah.
Right, she didn't. And he was kind of a little soft in the middle.
Yeah.
It was kind of funny. All right, we're out of time here. John Senecal, great job as always. This is Fan Base, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports.